Spring comes late to northeastern Minnesota. In March, when the rest of the state is thawing, snow is still thick in the woods outside Grand Marais, where Mark and Julie Adams live. A dirt road leads into their property, to a clearing dotted with rusted old trucks, a barn, a shed, and a cabin. In the cabin, cinder blocks are piled to make steps leading down to a room dimly lit by kerosene lamps and heated by a barrel stove. Mark Adams, a big, bearded man with glasses, gets enthusiastic goodnight kisses from his little daughters as his wife Julie takes them off to bed. Adams has lived here for 25 years. He says his family's rustic life has advantages.
The simpler you keep it, the less likely something's going to break. The more complicated you get, the more problems you have when something breaks. It's like if you carry your water in a bucket, you know, if the bucket breaks, well, you can just go get another bucket. If the pipe breaks under pressure, you got a mess.
Adam says when he moved here in 1973, his parents thought he was crazy.
They're sort of scratching their head that they spent their life trying to get away from outhouses and kerosene lights, and what the heck, you know, the kid they sent to college ends up living with outhouse and kerosene light.
Adams pieces together a living firefighting, logging, building bridges, and planting trees. He says his back-to-basics life sometimes makes him a valuable employee.
One of the things on my resume is a primitive skills and tools specialist. You know, you can't use a chainsaw in the BWCA. You can't use a backhoe in the BWCA. So when you've got wilderness areas, you've got to have somebody around who knows how to take care of those types of things and to be able to use, quote, primitive tools, close quote, which to me, a crosscut saw is not a primitive tool. Now, a rock, that's a primitive tool. But it's amazing what you can do with a rock.
Most winters, Adams is a horse logger. He uses horses to pull trees out of the forest. Early in the morning, he and his logging partner, Cindy Imstall, hitch two big draft horses to a wooden sled laden with chainsaws, poles, and other gear. Adams believes working close to animals and the land keeps him connected to reality.
People are so used to Disney that they can't tell reality from non-reality. I used to drive the horses of a bearskin lodge, and I had, I think I probably had 6 or 8 different occasions where tourists would come out of the lodge and go, oh, look at the, are those real horses? It got to the point where I developed my routine was, no, they're holograms, but don't step on the hologram behind them. It sticks to your boots.
Adams and Imstall climb on the sled, and the horses yank it into motion. Cindy Imstall is a relative newcomer to the North Woods. She once worked for Merrill Lynch in New York City's finance district. She left a desk job in St. Paul to come here. She and her daughter are living with the Adamses until she can buy 40 acres of her own.
I still lay at night and hear the wolves or the coyotes running around, and or just the quiet and not hearing the traffic and the police sirens and the neighbor's radio, and it's just too precious to ever give up, as far as I'm concerned.
Imstall is learning to use a chainsaw and a pike pole, a long pole with a hook. She and Adams use the poles to push and pull big logs into a pile.
That's one thing. I'm probably in the best shape I've been in most of my life, and didn't have to pay any gym fees.
Imstall confesses she does miss a bathtub. Weekly trips to the showers at the municipal pool aren't quite the same. For a mid-morning break, Adams and Imstall head to the cabin where Mark's wife, Julie, watches the girls. One of the kids dashes into the kitchen and pees into the honey bucket, which someone will have to empty later. Julie Adams says raising kids without running water or electricity isn't so difficult.
It's not like I don't have a laundromat to go to do the diapers. If I had to haul the water and doing by hand and stuff, it would be, I would think it'd be a little more difficult. I don't think they miss Sesame Street or anything like that. Cedar Rose is 15 months old, and she's really into books already.
Julie uses a sewing machine with a foot pedal to patch a pair of Mark's jeans. She's also made him gaiters for logging and a pack to take when he fights forest fires. She makes hats and mucklucks for the kids.
If the economy collapses, people are going to need to know these things a little more than they do now. Mark always says, get poor early and beat the rush. And I guess I agree with that philosophy. It's good to know certain things before you need them.
Months later, in the heat of summer, Adams is logging again. He and his teenage son Brock are sweaty and smell of chainsaw oil. Brock's been helping his dad log since he was about 6. He grew up in the woods, but he spent the past year going to high school in Minneapolis.
It was definitely different. I've never really seen that many people in one spot at one time. There was like 300 and some kids in my class. Nuts.
Brock stows some of the gear in the back of a pickup truck. He says classes in Minneapolis were easy after his years of homeschooling, and he thought some of his big city classmates acted silly.
Well, I'm used to working up here in a lot of serious situations, fairly serious anyways, and they weren't, and they didn't, they always wanted to get in fights and stuff like that, just stupid stuff. None of them seemed to want to be in school. They didn't want to learn anything. That was the other weird part.
Brock says having TV and electricity was no big treat, but he did enjoy running water. Today, he and his dad will go swimming to clean up before dinner. At the cabin, Julie Adams sautés mushrooms. Dinner tonight is roadkill. A few weeks ago, an 18-wheeler hit a moose on the highway. Some of it became moose burgers at a town picnic, and some went to members of the town board, including Julie Adams.
It was a little tough. It was a tough old moose, so we cooked it down with a mixed stroganoff so we can actually chew it.
The stroganoff comes out beautiful in thick, dark gravy, and it's delicious. Friends are visiting, and Julie and Cindy bring platter after platter of food outside, a salad, vegetables, rhubarb pie. Everyone sits in the afternoon sun to eat. The grown-ups joke and tell stories. Some of the kids head to the barn to see a batch of kittens. Mark Adams says this is a good life, but it isn't really the simple life.
That's one of the fallacies, that this is a simpler lifestyle, because it's every bit as complicated, it's just a different kind of complication. You want to pay attention to the smaller things when you're living out here. You pay attention to what the crickets are doing, because they're the ones that are going to tell you what the weather is. You don't punch it up on the internet. You know, you watch what the birds are doing. You watch what the clouds are doing.
Adams knows there are urban people who fantasize about moving out to the country, but he never fantasizes about life in the city. He seems genuinely puzzled by city dwellers and by life in the mainstream in general. For instance, he just doesn't get golf. He refers to it as beating a white spheroid down a fairway. He says he doesn't have anything against golfers. He just could never live that way. I'm Catherine Winter, Main Street Radio.